I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing a safe space for the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician. I'm running the Underground Railroad out of the two-party political system and the medical system, which is just a one-party. It's just a one-party group. Today's Wednesday. Next hour, we'll do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I've got some advice for long-haul COVID treatment. There's, you know, anybody that is suffering from effects from COVID for a period of time, spoiler alert, gets back to your immune system and nutrition. Also got two simple things today to add to your diet that can have a very positive effect on your health. It's pennies a day, and one of them is really great for controlling blood sugar, which is certainly helpful to people who are having issues with blood sugar and weight loss. Your blood sugar is having a lot to do with whether or not you can lose weight, take off fat, keep it off, these kinds of things. These are such simple tips. Just a little, adding a little something to your diet. Takes about maybe $20 a month and about 6 seconds a day, I would imagine. And you can probably change some things. And I can't make it much more simple than that. So we'll get to that, Hump Day Health, next hour. The quotes of the day today, in honor of that, this was Thomas Edison. I thought this was pretty interesting. He got it a little wrong, but I guess he knew where we should have headed with our medical system. Thomas Edison said, "The doctor of the future will give no medication, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease." So I guess my dream of us shifting to a medical system that actually tries to keep people healthy rather than making money off treating every symptom when we get sick, I guess that's not a new dream. Thomas Edison, I would imagine probably back in the 1920s, 1930s, thought that the doctor of the future will give no medication, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, diet, and in the cause of prevention of disease. Henry Ford, you would think he would know. I mean, you talk about the guy who revolutionized manufacturing and took over the auto world by storm as it in its infancy. You think he would understand the profit principle. Maybe he just thought that that they were interested in people's health and not actually the dollars behind them. Anyway, Benjamin Franklin, quote from Benjamin Franklin, says, "The best doctor gives the least medications." He actually says medicines. "The best doctor gives the least medicines," Benjamin Franklin. And then the widely known one from Hippocrates, all doctors take the Hippocratic Oath. He says, "Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food." So we would be well served to start heeding some of the advice of these three people from long ago. Plenty to get to today. I was really disappointed in one thing yesterday. I may have to give a pass. I'm fine with people boycotting Coke and any of these other woke corporations. It cracks me up a little bit that, you know, a lot of these soft drinks have really been destroying people's health, particularly people who have serious addictions to them. And I speak from knowledge because I used to have a serious addiction, 6 to 12 pack a day habit when I was in the restaurant business of caffeine, high fructose corn syrup sodas. So I understand. And it wrecked my health. And as soon as I gave them up, I felt better. I looked better. I lost weight. I mean, just everything. But if it takes a political statement from Coca-Cola to get you to put them down, then that's fine. I would imagine most people just switch to a different brand, though. But that kind of cracks me up. But I was so disappointed because I don't want to have to boycott these people. Apparently, Mick Jagger and Dave Grohl, who is the frontman for the Foo Fighters, Rolling Stones and Foo Fighters, two of my favorite bands, they put out a song. Now, it was couched in the idea that it was going after the, and of course they call it in the story, the anti-vaxxers. That's the lazy term for people who are just want to be certain about vaccine safety. They just call you anti-vaxxers. The story that I said, in the lyrics, it makes a little bit of a reference to the idea that people think that microchips are going into their body from the vaccines, that the earth is flat, that there's aliens in the deep state. So I guess there's a little, I listened to the song. A pretty decent song. Not the Stones' best effort, but a pretty decent rock and roll song. It's Dave Grohl, Mick Jagger, Ron Wood. Come on. Can't be too bad with that assemblage, but it appears to maybe make some fun of people who question the vaccine, but it doesn't. It's not pushy to the vaccine. I guess I'm trying to self-justify why I'm not going to boycott the Rolling Stones and Dave Grohl for their stance on vaccines. It's disappointing. And then it hit me, particularly with Mick Jagger. He's almost, 80 years old? It is hard for me to comprehend, as somebody who went to my first Rolling Stones concert back in 1982 and was just a huge, huge fan of Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones themselves. In the Beatles, Stones, a lot of people kind of picked a camp. I was always in the Stones camp. Beatles were a little too squeaky clean for me. A fantastic band. I love the Beatles, too. But the Stones were just a little bit more gritty, bluesier, just more rockin'. I like the Stones better. But it's hard for me to grasp the idea that, Mick Jagger is in that category where I would not dissuade him from getting the vaccine if he's concerned about it. Obviously, the guy's in great shape, but he's almost 80 years old. So anyway, I'm not going to boy. I'm going to continue to enjoy the Rolling Stones and the Foo Fighters. I'm going to let this one slide. We got to give somebody a pass, and they're not forcing the vaccine on me. So I'm going to have to give them a pass. Somebody I will not give a pass to is today is the day that Mayor Mary Hawkins Butler from Madison County, from Madison, the city. Today is the day that her challenge to the ballot process, the ballot initiative for medical marijuana, is they begin hearing this in the Supreme Court today. I believe this to be a very disgusting move by a true control freak. I am well aware that Madison has turned out pretty great. It has its issues, but it's a fantastic, it looks nice. It's a safe community to live in. It's convenient. Car tags are even cheaper than they are in Jackson. She's done a good job. She's a bit of a control freak for me, but it's hard at least with that. There's so many things where the result is terrible, yet we continue to listen to the politicians who created a bad result. I have to give it to Mayor Mary. Madison is a good community. So I understand if some people still like Mayor Mary, but she is a control freak. She's a control freak of the architecture that's in her city. She's a control freak on all kinds of different things. She's a political beast. And this is a really disgusting display of really upsetting the apple cart. Now, some people agree with her. Mayor Mary, you think she's championing this to keep medical marijuana out of our state. You love it. I don't know if people understand that if this was successful, if Mayor Mary was successful in overturning the ballot initiative that led to the medical marijuana, the passage of it by 75% of Mississippians, if she was successful in doing that, somebody would immediately challenge voter ID under the same thing. This was a ballot initiative process that led to voter ID in the state. So you will lose voter ID in Mississippi if Mayor Mary is. And this is why so many conservatives and liberals, everybody is so short-sighted. If it's something that you like, you just cheer it. Even if it's if a president does an executive order that you like, you cheer the executive order. You say it's getting things done. And then when the next guy comes around and uses the same power to do an executive order, you say they're overreaching their authority. We're so short-sighted and largely such a hypocritical group. But anyway, we'll see where hopefully this goes nowhere in the Supreme Court. I would like to say they'd laugh her out of the court, but because the ballot initiative was arrived at with the rules set forth by the legislature. But I guess you can never actually predict what a court will do at any particular time. So you better hope Mayor Mary does not succeed if you are a proponent of voter ID. I'm surprised a lawsuit has already not already been filed to do that. Come back. I'm going to look at a couple of financial headlines. There were three financial headlines in a row that I thought were, it's almost funny, almost funny. And boy, if the American people, I believe April is Financial Literacy Month. a less successful month we could not possibly have. Financial literacy to them may be, you know, basics, math of your household, but as far as true financial literacy of how the world works and the system that we continue to support and participate in and be screwed by, if we were ever to actually be literate in understanding this big banking debt-based fiat currency Federal Reserve hijack system, as I believe it was Henry Ford again. I believe it was, I was talking about Thomas Edison, about manufacturing the car. He was the light bulb guy. I had Henry Ford on the brain, I guess. Henry Ford actually said, if the American people truly understood the banking system, there'd be revolution by the morning. Something along those lines, I'm paraphrasing. But some of these headlines lined up together, I thought were just, I don't know, they kind of gave me a chuckle. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Bernie Madoff has passed away. Bernie Madoff died in prison. I guess today, I just saw the news just a little while ago. Now, I really wonder what goes through your mind when you are at the end of your life and you know that your major accomplishment, I mean, the thing that follows you to your grave is the fact that you defrauded, that you stole money from thousands of people. I mean, that is your thing and did it for a prolonged period of time. Didn't steal a loaf of bread to feed your family. Stole about $20 billion. That's got to be an uncomfortable feeling. None of us know exactly the contents of the afterlife. Many people say that they know. I don't know anybody can say with complete certainty they know. But I would imagine Bernie Madoff was Jewish. I knew he probably feels, you know, one of the things that I've always liked about Judaism, as they say, it's how you live your life is how you're judged. So I would imagine Bernie Madoff, pretty nervous. And I've been wondering for a while, what is up with the name Bernie? Yeah, Bernie Madoff, Bernie Ebers, Bernie Sanders. There is something going on there. Moms and dads, please don't name your child Bernie. Bernard's fine, I guess. No, I guess that's short. Bernard may be a problem too, but Bernies particularly have got great designs on other people's money. There is something about that name. Of course, Bernie Madoff, his Ponzi scheme was $65 billion, I believe, was the total, but really he just stole $20 billion of it. There was some of it left, some of it sitting out there. So a lot of it had been returned two people as they got redemption. So he didn't steal the entire $65 billion. He only stole $20 billion from his clients. And I got to tell you, that's child's play when you look at Congress. Each and every Congress critter who has filtered through the halls of D.C. over the past 100 years has stolen far more than that from far more people. And essentially done the exact same thing. They've used it to their benefit. You see, they take in campaign cash and parachute out into plum jobs by taking that sweet taxpayer cash that they stole from you and give it to their favored groups, who then reward them with cash back. Bernie Madoff, no good guy. No doubt about it, he hurt a lot of people, was definitely a thug. pinnacle white collar thug. But I got to tell you, no jail time for any of these people in Congress? Seriously? Because it's in they've just pretend that it's okay for them to steal your money and use it for their own purposes, then we'll just say okay. I guess, you know, they've got the badges and the guns, so the terrified American just says, okay. I saw these headlines in, just to kind of give you a picture of where we are financially. These headlines were all in a row. I think this was on Drudge Report. It was almost funny to me. The first headline was, Goldman Sachs, record earnings results. The banks are... This is the week of bank profits, and they're crushing it. Wells Fargo, not so much from the headline that I wrote, but J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, just crushing it. Record profits. Apparently, they made a lot of money off the Reddit traders, you know, the Wall Street Bets crew, all that trading activity that went into the GameStop stock, all this increased trading, the Federal Reserve pumping up the markets, with the endless stream of cash and suppressing interest rates so there's no alternative but to invest in the market. This is just fantastic for Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, and I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that those banks also own the Federal Reserve. But so the first headline is Goldman Sachs record earnings results. Then the next headline was consumer prices increased by most since 2012. And then the next headline was food costs jump. Huh. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I'll read those again. So Goldman Sachs sees record earnings results, but the consumer prices increased by the most since 2012 and food costs are jumping. Huh. Funny the way that works, isn't it? Some do well in a situation like we have right now. Some, well, most, the vast majority of most people don't do so well. In the stupidest, what might have been the stupidest story that I saw listed yesterday. It was a story on CNBC where they are accusing the Federal Reserve of being too white. The headline is, the Fed is quote-unquote overwhelmingly white and male and needs to change, a study says. This was done by the Brookings Institute, I believe. The Federal Reserve has a diversity problem, a Brookings Institution report released Tuesday said. The report notes that in the central bank's history, there have been just three black members of the Fed boards of governors, one black regional president, and only three non-white regional presidents overall. The Federal Reserve has a quote-unquote staggering lack of diversity among its directors who are charged with running the central bank's 12 districts, according to a report Tuesday from a leading Washington think tank. The Federal Reserve System has a diversity problem, said Brookings Institution report authored by economist Peter Conte Brown and Caleb Nygaard. This has long been obvious at the top of the organization among the members of the Fed's Board of Governors and President of the Federal Reserve Banks. Yeah, that'll fix everything. We just need a more diverse group of oligarchs. Don't say anything about the fact that for black and brown people and white people, we're all in this boat together. Democrats, Republicans, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, unless you are an oligarch, and I doubt very seriously the show would be popular in your crowd. And that's the dirty little secret, is that the Federal Reserve, the policies that they enact, the endless money printing, it makes those headlines I just said, where Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan hit record earnings while consumer prices go up and up and up. All you little people out there trying to build a home. That $250,000 home you were starting to build or just contemplating, just got the drawings from the architect back in January, ready to break ground. Boom. Oops. It's about $35,000 more for you to build it now because of lumber prices. But if we just get more diversity at the Fed, then there'll be more diversity in this gang of robber barons. The wealth inequality will continue to yawn the way it is right now. It looks like an alligator's mouth, particularly during Barack Obama and Donald Trump's term. The rich got richer. The average people lost ground repeatedly. But the problem, you know, so this is just, this is like Coca-Cola. This is any major corporation that is virtue signaling to get people distracted from the fact of how badly they are screwing you over. And to make them look like a kindler and gentler organization, they're just going to go in and shuffle the chairs a little bit. Because heaven forbid, if the black and brown communities, and women for that matter, If the black and brown communities, male and female, ever caught on to exactly how badly they are being screwed over by the Federal Reserve, as Henry Ford said, there would be a revolution by tomorrow morning. But that's not the focus of the Brookings Institute, one of the Washington think tanks that enables groups like the Federal Reserve to do what they do. And I know, I talk about the Federal Reserve a lot. It's so important. It is so important. If you want to see a wholesale change, like a real change, I know there was a lot of talk during Donald Trump's term. A lot of people told me he's taking down the Fed. He's getting rid of the Federal Reserve, Mike. You can't see it, but if you look real carefully and get your Trump decoder ring out and look at his moves, you can sort of kind of see where maybe he is doing this and he's merging the Treasury and the Fed, and then the Treasury is going to absorb the Fed and the Fed's going to go away. There was no such thing. I battled these ideas for years of the Trump administration saying, no, the Federal Reserve is getting more and more powerful under Donald Trump. When he calls for zero and negative interest rates, that empowers the Federal Reserve. That empowers the oligarchs. That empowers the biggest corporations that all of the conservatives and Trump supporters complain about. All these woke corporations, Donald Trump gave them a huge gift for his 4 years in office with demanding low interest rates, which is what helps these corporations to borrow money, to buy back their own stock, to enrich themselves. And I was told this was a plot by Donald Trump to take down the Fed. How's that working out for us? The most we got out of it is a diversity report. We're going to see some more faces of color, maybe some women. But I will say, I mean, the Federal Reserve's job is not done until it's headed by a transgender Asian identifying as an American Indian. Then we'll have true prosperity in this country. Now, I'll redeem myself from criticizing Donald Trump, which is verboten, to go into Veritas's report. Boy, CNN just proves to be more and more slimy the more you learn about them, isn't it? It's amazing that as low as CNN can go, they always find a way to go a little bit lower. Veritas does a great report on CNN and how they covered the presidential election. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I was talking to somebody here in the office before I came on air, talking about Bernie Madoff. Would you take 70 years? Well, I mean, I guess really as an adult is when Bernie Madoff experienced his true opulence. He probably got about 40 years, 40 to 50 years of real opulence before he even went rogue. He was very well respected on Wall Street. He was a trader. He was, I think his Ponzi scheme ran for maybe 12 to 15 years. I think I'm getting those numbers right. His whole career wasn't a Ponzi scheme. But he lived in opulence his whole life. So if you had to put your life, if you were given the choice at birth where you could live 70 years comfortably initially and then with real opulence, I mean, access to anything, a lifestyle of complete financial security, respect from your colleagues, and then the last, I don't know, how long was he in prison? 10, 12 years? It's so hard for me to keep up with. Things happen so fast, but we'll say 12 years. If you could have 70 years of really a fantastic lifestyle, but your last 12 years had to be spent in jail, would you take that trade? I would say if you were doing something honest for the first 70 years and then you were kidnapped by a guerrilla force and forced into a prison camp, because you know, at 70, you don't really have the ability to travel as much as you used to. I mean, you're kind of you're in the twilight years anyway. 70 years, and really the prison he was in, I would imagine, was not even almost a sacrifice. I would believe he was in a bit of a club fed. The problem with Bernie Madoff is that I would think, and I underestimate the mind of true psychopaths, but I would think so much of that time he spent in his career when he was cheating people, how do you enjoy the money knowing just basically any day? He was under investigations pretty consistently. There were people questioning his methods for a while. He came pretty close to getting caught much earlier than he actually got caught. So that had to have, I'm a big fan of American Greed. This is the show on CNBC that talks about con men and hustlers. And you see them out on their yachts. There was one about a guy up in Indianapolis I watched recently, and he's having these lavish parties. He bought a $6 million yacht. He had all these different houses. But when you're at that party and everybody's shaking your hand because everybody wants to know you because you've got all this money and they might be able to get business connections from you, and women are throwing themselves at you and you're enjoying the house, in the back of your mind, are you just thinking, golly, I would probably really enjoy this if I'd actually earned it, but oh, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous someone's going to find out. I would think that that would mess with you. I think it in Bernie Madoff's mind, I wouldn't switch places with him. Somebody who lived a good, honest, successful 70 years, and you just had to do 10, 12 years, and nothing that would damn your soul, but you had to do an inconvenient 10 or 12 years at the end, it might be a worthy trade. A lot of people struggle along the way. You struggle a year here, struggle a year there, peaks and troughs through a regular life. I don't know. Interesting thing to think about for me. So, CNN came out, Veritas came out, and from what I understand in my kind of brief reading, Veritas really does great work. My favorite thing about Veritas, and this is the group that goes in and does the undercover videos and exposes these news organizations or political movements and get behind the scenes stuff. My favorite thing about them is that they've got to make a lot of people very nervous about talking ever to anybody that they don't know. The fact that the radical left has got to be pretty paranoid, that makes me smile. It's got to be kind of nice that they're all telling each other, shut up, man. Quit talking about that stuff out here. You know, that kind of thing. Just to put that paranoia into the radical left is maybe the greatest thing, in my opinion, that Veritas does. But they get some real footage. And apparently, from what I read, that this CNN guy who just really exposes what a horrible, horrible, corrupt, dishonest organization CNN is. The way they got him was they duped him into a Tinder date. Now the left can't even use Tinder. And I would say that's probably the same for Grindr. Now they've got all of these dating apps. They've got to be very paranoid. They can't, they're not going to be able to date anymore now without being completely on guard. Again, that makes me smile, knowing they're constantly under threat of being exposed. I'll play a little bit of this, see if we can kind of get the gist of it. Veritas stuff is typically not great for radio because the audio is always undercover. There's a lot of background noise. Sometimes it's difficult to actually hear what the people are saying, and Veritas sometimes has to write on the screen. So it's much better to see the videos. But I think this clip is pretty careful. So CNN basically made it their mission to get rid of Donald Trump and to prop Joe Biden up. And they talk about the fact that they would cover Trump every time he took two hands to open a bottle or to lift a water bottle to his mouth. They couched it as some kind of he's fading, his health is bad, he's not strong, he's mentally deficient. Anything that Trump walks slowly down a ramp, the CNN would say, oh, look at this, he's turning into an old man, is he physically not well, is he sick? They would jump all over that. And they purposefully, and if you watch the videos, you'll see, they say, but we always made sure we showed Biden jogging or bicycling, made sure that he looked really young. Yes, he may be an older man, but look at what great shape he's in. So this is just pure propaganda, and this guy admits it. But he talks here about what their goal was when it came to Donald Trump over the last campaign cycle.
I think that's propaganda.
Look what we did. We got Trump back. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear, like climate?
Yeah, fear sells.
No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious.
Yeah, so they go through this. Yeah, so they're coming after climate change. So to all you CNN viewers out there, to all you leftists who think that CNN's being honest with you, they're about to lie to you about climate change, too, ultimately to pick your pocket and control your lives. Most of you, too obtuse, is that the word I should use, to really realize what's going on, even with admissions like this. But it is pretty gross to see what they did. Now, this is, comes as no surprise to anybody on the right. We left CNN long ago. Unless we are on a layover in a airport somewhere, CNN just never appears on our television screens because we figured out 30 years ago what CNN was all about. Now, people will say, and I've seen this on conservative media, see, this is how dishonest the media was. Some of these things almost, to me, it's almost like a, of course that's what they did. I mean, we really knew this. It's good to have them admit it because it may open up some people's eyes, but very few. In America now, we don't change our minds about anything. We get on one side or the other, and we twist our minds into logic to justify what our side does. Many people on the left will not see this as a news organization admitting to propaganda, admitting to it. And the left used to not like propaganda. That's the funny thing. They used to call media under George W. Bush state media. They would call, they still do to this day, they call Fox News under Donald Trump state media. But it's not really a surprise to us. I don't know how badly this even really hurt Donald Trump during the election, but I sometimes maybe underappreciate the number of people out there who really aren't hip to the idea that the media is completely corrupt across the spectrum. This includes Fox News. It includes Associated Press. It includes Reuters. Sometimes AP and Reuters can get a fact-based article sneaks through that just gives you some information that you can use, but most everything is tilted one way or another. Media almost across the board, and Silicon Valley hides everything else. It's wildly. So I don't know how much CNN coverage really hurt Donald Trump. I think that Donald Trump probably did more to hurt Donald Trump than CNN as far as kind of the independent people out there, the people who really aren't bought and sold by either party. Trump made it very, very easy to dislike him. And this was one of my great complaints while Trump was in office, and it wasn't always popular with listeners of this show or conservative audiences, but I just, so many things Trump did, I went, oh, come on, you're just setting yourself up for this stuff. Now, would if CNN have been nice to him if he'd changed his style? Of course not. But independent-minded people would have looked at CNN's ridiculous coverage of him and then looked at the actual, Trump was so accessible to the media, they would have looked at Trump himself and just gone, I don't get it. Why is CNN hate this guy? He seems perfectly normal and fine to me. He seems like a pretty nice guy. That's the tact. He could have beat them, I believe. So I don't know CNN necessarily cost Trump the election, but it is fascinating to see. And kudos to Veritas and the fact that they keep doing this, exposing all of these groups, getting them in their own words, in undercover stuff. And again, as I say, my favorite part about it is he makes the left very nervous. He's going to make Black Lives Matter very nervous. He's going to make Antifa very nervous. He's going to make the Democratic Party very nervous. He's going to make school boards around the country very nervous. I mean, any of these left-wing organizations that are just slimy, slimy groups have all got to be terrified to speak in public to anybody unless they have known them for 20 years. And for that, I thank Veritas. When I come back, though, I'm wildly consistent. We talked a little bit about the J&J pause yesterday on their vaccine. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But then Trump's reaction to it. I'm going to go ahead and issue it. It's a trigger alert. This is a trigger alert. This is an example of how Trump lost me, if anybody cares. And if you want him in 2024, you should care what it is that turns some people off that may not make him rise again to the throne in 2024. But if you think Trump is rising to the throne in 2024 to save you all, this is a trigger alert you may want to avoid just the next couple of minutes. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum.
House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, top of the hour, we're going to move on to Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use, and an empowering segment rather than the fear-mongering we get from our authorities when it comes to your health. We'll get to that next hour. I found it interesting that they paused this Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'm going to ask this question again. So they paused the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because six people experienced blood clots. One of them died. One of them is in critical condition. They are minimizing it, saying it's an extremely rare event. And they're right. If there's only six of them and 7 million people were inoculated, it is extremely rare. I mean, statistically zero, that's not good news for the people who died or got serious problems from this. But they've paused it after these six people. Yet, I believe the number is around 2,300, 2,400 people have died from the vaccination program so far, as reported to the vaccine adverse reaction site, the government's own database. 2,400 people have died from the other vaccines. Meh, they don't talk about it at all. Six people get a blood clot, pause. 2,400 people die. 50,000 other adverse reactions. Meh, they don't pay any attention to that. Something is wrong with this story, and they're couching this as, see, the system's working perfectly. See how they're keeping this tight eye on? It's only six people out of 7 million, yet they took the extraordinary step to pause this vaccine because they're so safety-minded. And they just ignore the 2,300 deaths that have come from the other vaccines. I mean, how do you explain that? It's absolutely beyond me. Well, again, trigger alert for the people who are believing that Trump will rise again in 2024 and save us all. He put out a statement yesterday about the Johnson & Johnson pause that I just really found gross. Sorry. This is Donald Trump's statement about that. He said, the Biden administration did a terrible disservice to people throughout the world by allowing the FDA and CDC to call a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. The results of this vaccine have been extraordinary, but now its reputation will be permanently challenged. The people who have already taken the vaccine will be up in arms, and perhaps all of this was done for politics, or perhaps it's the FDA's love for Pfizer. Now, I don't deny that FDA has a love for Pfizer. The FDA, this is Trump again in his statement, the FDA, especially with longtime bureaucrats within, has to be controlled. They should not be able to do such damage for possibly political reasons or maybe because their friends at Pfizer have suggested it. Now, it's getting to the why I took such exception with this, not only because I'm still upset with Donald Trump for rushing out an experimental vaccine on 330 million Americans and touting it as some kind of an accomplishment. Trump came out and said that if it wasn't for him, 50 to 100 million people worldwide would have died. That's ridiculous. Absolutely insanity, ridiculous. And all he's doing is hyping the fear around coronavirus, which is weird because most Trump supporters want to minimize the threat from coronavirus. That for most people, it's just like a flu, if that. But Trump says it would have killed 50 to 100 million people. Yeah, that's real consistent. This is on to Trump's statement here. He says they should be able to do they should not be able to do such damage for possibly political reasons, or maybe their friends at Pfizer have suggested it. They'll do things like this to make themselves look important. Now here's the money line for me. Remember, this is Trump in his statement. Remember, it was the FDA working with Pfizer who announced the vaccine approval 2 days after the 2020 presidential election. They didn't like me very much because I pushed them extremely hard. But if I didn't, you wouldn't have a vaccine for 3 to 5 years, or maybe not at all. It takes them years to act. No, Donald Trump. It takes them years to test. That 3 to 5 years that Donald Trump's telling you, credit him for not taking that 3 to 5 years, is the 3 to 5 years they would have studied a vaccine and found out that, hey, look, a couple of these things cause pretty damaging blood clots. I'll finish up with Trump's statement here. Do your testing, clean up the record, and get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine back online quickly. The only way we defeat the China virus is with our great vaccines. Donald Trump rushed an experimental vaccine at us. He is calling it one of his greatest achievements. Some people believe that. And I guess we just will agree to disagree. Donald Trump crows about the fact that he got these vaccines through with no animal testing, no human testing. A vaccine they failed at for 20 years for a coronavirus, he got done with no animal testing or human testing and straight into the arms of Americans who it's being experimented on right now. And again, all of these things, like the blood clots, that's what they would have discovered in the 3 to 5 years of studying. Sometimes you don't want things to come real quickly. I know we live in a microwave society. I know they've been fear-mongering coronavirus. Some things are a little worth waiting on. And I would imagine to the 2,300 people who have died from the mRNA vaccines, to the one person who has recently died from a blood clot from the J&J, to the countless people who have gotten blood clots from AstraZeneca and J&J, they might have appreciated a little bit more testing. Donald Trump is using his platform right now to go out and settle political scores. He's just mad at Pfizer because they made that announcement after the election. And maybe he's right, that was for politics. But the point is not that to the vast majority. Do you care about the politics of a company, or do you care about the fact that these vaccines are being used to experiment on humanity? Trump is seeking to just settle political scores. He would not have sent this tweet out if Pfizer had announced their vaccine, if Pfizer had announced that they were going to start experimenting on the American people 2 weeks earlier, he wouldn't have a problem with it. I have a problem with the experimentation itself. I have a problem with the pharmaceutical companies that are given blanket immunity, and with Trump's executive order declaring a national emergency, and with them invoking the PREP Act, which gives, it's almost like a secondary liability protection. Well, they're doing this vaccine in an emergency. You double, triple, quadruple can't sue these companies. So Trump is cheering on Johnson & Johnson, which apparently has a bit of a blood clot problem. At least there's indications it should be studied. It should have been studied before they rolled it out and told everybody to rush out and get the first vaccine you can get your hands on. They don't even distinguish. Now, just whatever you can get, rush out and get it. None of them have been studied, so it's, you know, just cross your fingers and pick the first one. This is the guy everybody wants back in 2024. I'm staring at a flag. Trump 2024, take America back. Back to what? I think the whole thing is pretty gross. But it is, every time you hear of these side effects, be they blood clots, be they anything else, we got one teenager that's got Guillain-Barr syndrome. These are the kinds of things they would have found in testing. That's why most vaccines take 3, 5, 10 years to come out. They test them on human beings for a prolonged period of time. Now they're actively monitoring. They'll reassess and make additional recommendations. This is what they would have done during testing. And so what we're seeing right now is their testing process. I guess this is a good up-close look at how they test vaccines. It's just they're doing it on 100 million Americans.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Wednesday is our hour to focus in on keeping you healthy, improving your state of health on a daily basis. In this segment, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We got some pretty good tips today. A couple of little small hacks you can do, cost you pennies a day. And you may be able to help control your blood sugar, lose weight, keep weight off, reduce inflammation, all kinds of good stuff. I can't make it much more simple than a couple things we'll get to today in just a little bit. I start every show by explaining to you, however, I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a virologist, not an immunologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I'm nothing. I have no medical certifications to advise anybody on their health. I'm just giving you some things that you can take the ball and run with if you want to improve your health on a daily basis. Looking at what has happened to our nation over the past 14 months, we could use better general health to avoid what we have seen in this country for the past 14 months. While I am not a doctor, I am happy to have found a clinic. I've said very often that where modern medicine has just really knocked the cover off the ball, just done great things, is if you have a broken body. If you suffer an injury, there has never been any better time to be alive. While I believe we are over-medicated and in some other ways, the medical system has lost its way when it comes to injuries or when something traumatic happens to the body, medicine is the place to be. And we got a group here that I wanted to talk about just a little bit. It's Deloach Family Clinic. And their specialties are in occupational medicine, workman's comp, DOT, Department of Transportation physicals, and they work with many other industries, too, who need to get any kind of help for anybody who's been injured. They address varied health concerns you may have. If you get injured, be it a minor laceration, a strain, a sprain, then Deloach Family Clinic is there for you. Their physicians are trained in occupational medicine to diagnose and treat work-related injuries much more effectively than most primary care physicians. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 o'clock. They're located at 122 Weisenberger Road. That's near the corner of Weisenberger and Gluckstadt Road in Madison. Their phone number, 601-790-9098. 601-790-9098. That's Deloach Family Clinic. And I got to tell you, if you've got somebody, if you are injured, you want to go to somebody who specializes in injuries. Not your quickest clinic, probably. If you can get there, get to the Deloach Family Clinics. Anyway, glad to have them around. I really do cheer for all the advancements in ways we were able to mend a broken bone or other physical problems. All right, you know, I start off every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, but I got to tell you, I may be more effective in many ways. Just the information I bring you, it's up to you. You can be more effective than a doctor if you take charge of your own medical health or your own health. This is a story I ran across. I've threatened to call this thing the Vitamin D Show for months now. I've been talking about it since the outbreak of coronavirus was even mentioned. And even before that, every flu season, I think I talk about vitamin D. I've talked about vitamin D and breast cancer. The story ran across just a couple days ago. A new research study at the University of Chicago Medicine has found that when it comes to COVID-19, having vitamin D levels above those traditionally considered sufficient may lower the risk of infection, especially for black people. The study, published in JAMA's Open Network on March 19th, retrospectively examined the relationship between vitamin D levels and likelihood of testing positive for COVID-19. While levels of 30 nanograms per milliliter or more are usually considered sufficient, the authors found that black individuals who had levels of 30 to 40 nanograms per milliliter had a 2.64 times higher risk of testing positive for COVID-19 than people with levels of 40 nanograms per milliliter or greater. Statistically significant associations of vitamin D levels with COVID-19 risk were not found in white people. That is not consistent with some other reports. But for black people whose skin does not produce as much vitamin D, the darker your skin, the less vitamin D you produce in your body, as I understand it. Vitamin D supplementation is showing to work. They looked at several different studies, and now they are going in and doing testing on people, and they're finding that this vitamin D is the real deal. And it's always just amazing to me that vitamin D has never been mentioned by any of our health authorities in any of the numerous press conferences across the country, at least here in Mississippi and the national ones that I've seen, and Andrew Cuomo. Nobody arms you with anything to actually protect yourself. They just boss you around, tell you you're dependent on them, and just wait for another pharmaceutical product like the vaccines to come out and everything will be okay. I don't accept that. You can take proactive steps right now to protect yourself, not only from coronavirus, but everything else. And vitamin D appears in almost every study to show that it is effective in keeping you healthy. There were other headlines that were today. Again, nobody's going to talk about these things. I didn't hear Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi ever mention these things when he was prattling on endlessly about washing your hands, wearing a face mask, social distancing, and staying away from granny. Here are some headlines. Regular exercise may help protect against severe COVID. Duh. Regular exercise makes you healthier. It boosts your immune system. Did they mention exercise? No. They told you to sit on your couch and stream Netflix and wait for a vaccine. Nice job. Another headline, patients with sedentary habits more likely to die. Yeah, did they tell you to get up off your butt and start moving? No. No, they didn't. They told you just wait around. You may die, but maybe they'll be able to save you with a pharmaceutical intervention like a vaccine. Or wait for some other treatment. Sedentary lifestyles attributed to more death. And then this was my favorite headline. It's safer to be outside. Well, the story is on MSN News. What a difference a year makes. The beaches were even busier this year, but officials say there were no talks of closure. There was also far less outcry, with good reason, according to many scientists and public health experts who say the outdoor spaces, now warming under spring sun, should be viewed as havens in the battle of a stubborn virus and restriction-induced fatigue. Ah, look at that. Turns out, maybe locking people in their homes when you've got a virus going around, not the greatest idea. If you recall, it was last spring and summer that the lockdowns were most severe in states that eventually even opened up when they realized that was a catastrophe. And seriously, I have to ask this. By the time this is all said and done, I don't know how many people will realize it, but could Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci and all of these mayors and school boards and all the other politicians and bureaucrats, could they have been any more wrong over the past 14 months? I mean, possibly they could have told you to. I honestly don't know. I was about to say they could have told you to find a COVID patient and French kiss them. But that might have actually exposed people. We might have gotten to herd immunity, and the vast majority of people would have been exposed to a little bit of the viral load, fought it off, and developed their own natural immunity to it. I'm not sure if they could have done anything worse. And then there's this story, and I'll go back to my initial quote of the day, which was from Hippocrates, of which all doctors take their oath, where he says, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." Here's the headline from the Jerusalem Post: "Can a cup of yogurt cure your case of COVID-19? Preclinical research by Israeli scientists published in Microbiome indicate that kefir could be used to treat cytokine storms caused by coronavirus. Story goes on to say, can a cup of probiotic yogurt help save the lives of people with COVID-19? Researchers from Ben Gurion, a university, say they have identified molecules in kefir that are effective at treating various inflammatory conditions, including cytokine storms caused by COVID-19. Kefir, which is similar to yogurt but thinner in consistency, is a fermented drink made by inoculating cow or goat's milk with microorganism mixtures such as yeast and bacteria. A cytokine storm is when the body's immune system goes into overdrive and attacks itself, one of the leading causes of death in COVID-19 patients. Now, we've talked on this show about getting your microbiome in line. We've talked about kefir. We've talked about yogurts. We've talked about probiotics. There's a huge connection between your immune system and your gut health. And now they're finding out, oh, yeah, look at this, yogurt. Yogurt could have saved some lives there. Did Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, anybody talk about gut health? Anybody talk about yogurt or fermented kefir? Anybody? No, they didn't. They talked a lot about remdesivir. They talked a lot about ventilators. They talked a lot about deaths. Didn't mention exercise. Didn't mention vitamin D. Didn't mention a sedentary lifestyle. Didn't mention the benefits of going outdoors. Didn't mention hydroxychloroquine. Didn't mention ivermectin. All of these things, they just keep stacking up on top of themselves with studies showing how many lives it could have been saved. I ask you again, could these people have been any more wrong? Oh, no. Here we go.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
There was one issue and one issue only that spurred me to do something about the diet that myself and my family was consuming. And it's really kind of funny when I look back at it. I had gotten chubby. I was sick a few times a year. I had all kinds of nagging chronic conditions, headache, bad stomach problems, insomnia. All kinds of nagging little conditions. I didn't do anything for myself about it. I wasn't educated in it. I just thought it was me getting old, and I was in my early 30s at the time. Such a shame. I wasted several years. But it was my daughter. My daughter was 4 years old at the time, and I thought, I read some stories about little girls going into puberty, you know, at like 7 or 8, and I said, that doesn't sound right. I don't want that to happen to my daughter. And I did just the most basic research, and I couldn't really find the identifier exactly. But I saw things that looked at fluoride, hormones in the milk, certain chemicals that are put in our food that are disrupting the hormones of our kids. And so I just got rid of basically all of it. And it did not happen to my daughter. And magically, most all of our health in my family all dramatically improved, my children and myself particularly. I ran across a story now that kind of dovetails on that. This is a story that was put out on the 8th. Glyphosate exposure during pregnancy causes hormonal changes in baby girls. I'm telling you, they're doing science experiments on us all the time. This vaccine is not the first time they've been testing products on us. A new peer-reviewed pilot study on women exposed to glyphosate during pregnancy increases scientists' understanding of how the chemical acts as an endocrine disruptor in female infants. A group of international scientists from the U.S. and the EU have released a peer-reviewed pilot study that suggests the anogenital distance of baby girls is becoming more typical due to their mothers having exposed, more male typical due to their mothers being exposed to glyphosate when they are in the womb. And this story goes on to say they're taking measurements of these children. They're looking at mothers who consumed. And when talk about glyphosate, this is Roundup. It's one of these chemicals that's used as a weed killer around food crops, and you end up ingesting a ton of it if you're not eating non-GMO foods. If you're eating organic, you're mostly avoiding these things. Almost no way to avoid it completely. But isn't it sad? Isn't it sad to know that we have got a product out there being sprayed on our foods that is actually affecting babies in the womb and changing the hormonal balance of children as they're being born? Yet nobody really talks about it, do they? Well, it's another thing. I took GMO stuff. I tried to avoid it as much as I could with my daughter. It was too late. I mean, she was already born, but I didn't think it was going to help her in any way. I don't think any of us are suffering from lack of pesticides or herbicides in our diet, so I felt like it was pretty harmless to go ahead and take those things out, and again, our health bloomed. But if you are expecting or thinking about expecting, you might want to pay attention to whether or not you are eating foods that have been sprayed with this glyphosate and other chemicals that may be affecting your daughter's health, pending daughter's health. This was for long-haul COVID. This is a guy. His name is Dr. Brownstein. Let's see if I can find his first name here. I usually clip it. I've got this video pulled up. That's all it's got here. But anyway, he does a lot of natural treatment with his patients. Hearing a lot about long-haul COVID now. Some of the numbers are pretty striking. I've seen statistics up to 30% of people, once they got this, they just can't get back on track. And surprise, surprise, it probably has to do with how you're treating your body and treating your immune system after the infection.
So when we talked before, we concentrated on the phenomenal success you had in treating patients who contract COVID. Today, I'd like to get your perspective on a related issue. So currently it's estimated, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's estimated about 10% of COVID patients are experiencing persistent symptoms weeks, sometimes months after having the virus. And there's, it seems like there's much we don't know about why this happens, but some research seems to indicate that there might be a connection with previous autoimmune conditions. What are your thoughts on this theory and sort of generally what do you see as probable causes for this phenomenon?
And I wanted to add this, too. And one of the reasons I bring this is because obviously not a lot of people listening to the show will be suffering from long-haul COVID. But year in and year out, I've listened to people talk about, well, I got the flu. I still don't feel right. It's 3 months later. That flu knocked me on my butt, and I still don't feel good. I talked to a lot of people who've got a persistent cough. I just can't seem to get rid of this cough. It'll be months and months and months will go by. And it is important to understand that you need to continually, even if the virus that's going around has passed, you've got to keep your immune system healthy. It's been worked hard to try to fight off any sickness. It may still need further repairing to get you to get on the other side of whatever you were affected by.
Well, you know, the numbers are high for a viral infection and having these persistent symptoms. 10% is kind of on the low side. I've seen some of the studies saying 30% of people having long-term symptoms. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a big deal. And we're in our practice, we're not seeing those numbers. We're seeing less than 5% having longer duration of symptoms. And the reason I think we're seeing less than that is because we start supporting their immune system from the beginning and hopefully prior to when they become infected or exposed to it. And certainly if they become infected with it, we use a nutritional and oxidative approach to help support the innate and adaptive immune systems. And I think that that allows people to neutralize and dispose of the virus appropriately, and they can move on with their lives. And I do think that this type of approach just makes them stronger, makes them less likely to get these long-haul symptoms. I've had a few patients get long-haul symptoms. It's not, like I said, less than 5%. And I've been, I think, fairly successful at treating that, you know, with, you know, again, correcting nutritional and hormonal imbalances. It's, you know, it's doing everything. It's doing, you know, cleaning up the diet, you know, encouraging them to drink water. And then, you know, for COVID, just, you know, using, you know, an immune support program and an antiviral program. And, you know, just, you know, if we give the body its basic raw materials, we're designed to live a good life into old age and have enough energy to do what you want to do into old age and good brain function to old age. And we're also designed to withstand viral infections. If we weren't, we wouldn't be here after tens of thousands of years on this planet because we're always exposed to viruses. So I think that, you know, this long haul problem with COVID and to COVID in general and what's happened to our country is just an epitome of, you know, our health status. It's just a disaster. Our healthcare system is a disaster. Our health status is a disaster. And our response to COVID has been a raging disaster. And the outcome of that is, you know, over 500,000 dead and, you know, too many people suffering long-haul symptoms, and yet, you know, we're still locked down, at least in Michigan, and, you know, wearing masks and social distancing, and, you know, COVID's raging here again. So, you know, the shorter answer to your question is we continue to support the body, we continue to support the immune system, we use IV nutritional therapies, which has been incredibly helpful for people sick with COVID and helpful for people who have these long-haul symptoms and getting them out of that. And, you know, this in my experience, you know, this approach works.
So if there is somebody listening that has had issues with symptoms that persist long after, you know, they've supposedly gotten over the virus, what would you suggest that they do? I mean, what needs to be the first step for somebody who's in that situation and just has no idea where to turn?
Well, first step is, you know, do the basics, educate yourself on, you know, how to support the body and how to support the immune system. And the number one thing is diet. Clean up your diet. Get sugar out of your diet. You get sick with a viral infection, you should remove sugar from your diet, but you should have removed sugar before you got sick from the infection. But, you know, if you're there and you've got these long-haul things, clean up your diet, remove sugar, remove refined carbohydrates and refined foods. Adequate hydration with water and salt helps. I wrote a book on salt your way to health about this. And, you know, then, you know, correct nutritional and hormonal imbalances. I mean, all this stuff supports the body. You know, we do IVs of vitamin C, IVs of hydrogen peroxide, IVs of phosphatidylcholine and glutathione. All these things help, you know, improve mitochondrial function, improve immune system function, improve your ability to make ATP molecules and energy, so you can feel better and, you know, and not be tired and not be brain fogged and, you know, achy and all that stuff afterwards. And, you know, our experience with it is much lower rates and much less severe cases of these long haul things than, you know, what's reported out there.
And that's just such a shame. I mean, it really is. It's been a tragedy to watch from my perch over the past year, realizing that so much could have been done by just, this is the perfect opportunity to educate people about what you shove in your pie hole, having an effect on your susceptibility to COVID or any other diseases. The benefits of exercise, not only just to losing weight, but to your immune system, the role that foods and supplements and minerals and vitamins could have played in bolstering your immune system so people weren't scared to death. And when a virus comes around, because spoiler alert, this won't be the last one. And we've missed all of those opportunities to do that because we've been trapped in this, I can only call it the pharmaceutical model, which is go ahead, get sick. There's nothing you can do. The virus is coming for you. Just wait till we've got pharmaceuticals we can give to you. Pay big dollars for them and we'll save the day. So disempowering to an entire country, really, and basically an entire world at this point. When I come back, if you're having any blood sugar issues, if you're looking to lose a little weight, keep weight off. Boy, I've got a couple of simple, really simple tips to use. This is one of those things. It's just a layup, something that probably will benefit you. Again, do your own research, but we're going to go into the science of turmeric. This one little, it's been used for thousands of years, pretty impressively. It'll be explained after this break. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so we're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use, as we do every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, trying to empower people, take control of their own health. Don't be a victim. I do a lot of stuff on vitamin D. I've talked a lot about apple cider vinegar, organic apple cider vinegar. There's a lot of things that just seem to address a lot of issues. Just be something that is so easy and inexpensive to work into your daily routine, and people see benefits from these things constantly. And of course, you're going to hear that nowhere else but here because they are so cheap. But another one of those things is turmeric. This is a clip from a guy, his name is Thomas DeLauer. And he gets a little sciencey with this, but I think it's important. Now, I'm a bit of a health nerd. I like the science. I like to hear how things work. That's kind of how I'm wired. If somebody just says something, doesn't have much of an impact. I kind of got to know the behinds of this. Well, why does it work? What does it do exactly? This is my nature. It may or may not be your nature. But if your nature is to have high blood sugar, if your nature is to have difficulty losing weight, most particularly when it comes to fat, I almost think losing weight for most people or for a lot of people is really a little misleading. I don't really want to lose any weight. I usually want to lose some fat and add muscle mass, which would keep my weight static. I could even stand to gain 10 pounds, but I could lose 5 or 8 pounds of body fat and be much happier too. So losing weight's a little bit of a misnomer. That's a sidebar. Sorry. Anyway, turmeric has shown a lot of benefits for a lot of different things, and Thomas DeLauer's got a great clip. It's a little long, so I'm cheating a little bit on the show to let someone else take it for this long, but it's about 5 minutes. But he explains to you what turmeric is and how maybe it can fit into your lifestyle. And again, this is pennies a day, something you can do in about 6 seconds a day. There's lots of good turmeric supplements out there that you can take.
You guys have all heard me talk about the benefits of turmeric. You've heard me talk about how anti-inflammatory it is. You've heard me talk about how it can increase your energy levels and a myriad of other health benefits. But I haven't gone into a whole lot of detail in how turmeric can actually help you burn fat and actually help your insulin levels. Now, to understand how turmeric works in this capacity, I have to explain a little bit more about insulin and how insulin works in the way of fat loss. You see, every time we eat something, particularly a carbohydrate or a protein, our pancreas secretes insulin. Now, I've talked about this in other videos. I've talked about how if you're constantly eating, your pancreas is constantly secreting insulin. And when your pancreas is constantly secreting insulin, it doesn't get a chance to recharge and rebuild enough insulin for the next meal. So what can happen is you can actually become somewhat insulin resistant, which means that your blood sugar is going to remain elevated and it's going to be that much easier to store fat. It's also going to be that much easier to become a type 2 diabetic. And obviously, we don't want that. So I want to explain how the body works in a little bit more detail before I explain how you can specifically use turmeric to help lower your blood sugar and ultimately help your fat loss goals. You see, we have to look at the counterpart to insulin, and that is something called glucagon. So let me explain it with kind of an example. Let's say you eat lunch and you have a fair bit of carbohydrates with lunch. Let's just say you have a sandwich, for instance. Okay, you eat the sandwich, and then about an hour or 2 hours later, those insulin levels that were secreted and elevated after you consumed that meal begin to come down. You see, insulin stays in your body for about 2 to 3 hours, depending on the individual and depending on how insulin sensitive you are. So 2 or 3 hours down the line after eating that sandwich, your body creates something called glucagon. And what glucagon is more or less the opposite of insulin. What glucagon does is tells your liver that the insulin levels are beginning to drop and that the liver needs to release stored glucose from either the muscles or the liver to begin to elevate the blood sugar again, simply because you don't have that dietary carbohydrate, that dietary glucose flowing through the bloodstream. Now, what can also happen with this is it also triggers your liver to release free fatty acids and ketones. That is when fat burning takes place. Now, you might remember my video how I talk about how snacking can actually reduce the rate of fat loss. Well, it's simply because of this mechanism. You need to have glucagon in order for your body to be able to burn fat. If your insulin levels are constantly elevated, your body is never really able to release those free fatty acids out of the adipose tissue or wherever they need to be released from to give you that energy. That energy that is effectively using body fat as energy. Well, where exactly does turmeric come into place? Well, turmeric comes into place because it has been shown to dramatically reduce your blood sugar levels, specifically when taken with a meal. So what this means is that rather than having your insulin levels elevated for 2 to 3 hours after a meal, it can be brought down to 1 to 2 hours, meaning you have a larger fat loss window simply by using turmeric. In fact, a recent study by Molecular Food and Nutrition found that those that had diabetes or chronically high levels of blood sugar that added curcumin, which is turmeric, to every meal of the day for 6 weeks had a reduction by 30 to 40% in their overall blood sugar. Now, that is a pretty dramatic response. When you couple that kind of lowering of blood sugar along with the right kind of diet, the right kind of meal timing, and of course, the right kind of exercise, you can exponentially increase the amount of body fat that you burn. So now we get to the real question. When do you add turmeric? Where do you add turmeric? Where are you going to get the most bang for the buck, so to speak? Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to hypothesize based on something that I already know. Okay, a lot of times when I'm working with clients or I'm working with people, I explain to them that you want to have at least one meal that has a relatively long gap between the next meal. So for example, that same sandwich with lunch, for instance, I want you to try to take a little bit of a longer gap between lunch and dinner, because you're going to have a period of time where your body can actually burn some fat, where glucagon can be released and your body can start burning those free fatty acids. So again, if we go back to that example that I originally talked about, where you have that sandwich at 12 and your insulin levels are dropping around 2 or 3 p.m., well, imagine if you added turmeric with that meal. If you added turmeric with that meal, your insulin levels would be suppressed around 1 or 2 p.m. versus 2 to 3 p.m., essentially giving you an extra hour of fat burning through that longer window. Now, if you're eating every 2 or 3 hours, the effect is somewhat minimal. So I encourage you to use your turmeric whenever you're going to have a longer gap. Now, this also applies if you're intermittent fasting. Maybe you're about to go on a 16-hour window where you really want to maximize the effects of fat burning. You really want to maximize the hormone effects. Well, add some turmeric to that last meal before you start the fasting phase, and you can gain an extra 1 to 2 hours of glucagon response and ultimately some fat burning. Now,
so there you go. And I can't imagine anything that's probably more important right now in the United States than people starting to control their blood sugar. This also kind of turns on its head. We've heard for years and years, and I think I may have tried this at some point, although, to be honest with you, it was a little bit too much work for me. The idea that we should eat 6 to 8 small meals a day to keep your metabolism revving up. If those 6 to 8 small meals a day are including a lot of carbs, particularly refined carbs or sugars, then essentially you are just working your pancreas to death, my understanding. Not a scientist, not a biologist, not a doctor. But we see what's happened over the years, and I think the latest statistics I've seen are that not only do we have diabetes running rampant in this country, a lot of just an awful big swell in diabetics over the past couple of decades, but also the number of people who do not know that right now they are pre-diabetic, they're on that tipping point of becoming diabetic, is somewhere, I think it's 80 to 90 million Americans. Close to, that's a quarter to almost a third of Americans are pre-diabetic right now, and this is because of this uncontrolled blood sugar. So turmeric, if you do decide you want to try it out, make sure you get a good quality turmeric. Don't just buy the cheapest thing you can find at the big box stores. I would imagine turmeric, there is some level of quality that you want to get in that. Spend a couple of dollars extra over the course of a month of taking it or a couple months of taking it. You're literally talking about pennies a day and the difference in price. So I think it's worth making sure you find a good quality supplement in that. But turmeric, an easy one to do. And when I come back, I've got another easy thing that I'd use just about every day now. I forget about it sometimes, and then I remind myself that for about, it's about a dollar a week, I can add something to my food that I think has great health benefits. I'll play that when we come back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
Final segment of the show. I'm giving you some simple ones now. Now, this next one that I think is just an easy and I think a tasty health hack, I'll do a disclaimer on this. I'm single. Most meals I eat during the evening time when I practice this, I'm generally alone. And generally, I'm going to go to bed alone. You'll understand why I'm bringing this up in just a second when we talk about garlic and how great it is. Last night, I had a fantastic meal out with Americans for Prosperity out at Sombra. Oh, man. Soft tacos rolled. Oh, fantastic meal. I was with people then, so I didn't garlic up. But in your everyday thing, and even for spouses, when I cook garlic, I don't smell it, but I'm a little hard of smelling anyway. Garlic is another one of these things. So we've got vitamin D, we've got apple cider vinegar, we just went over turmeric. These are such easy things. I can get a clove of garlic, organic garlic, for like $1.26. And I'll peel off a clove of that, and just about anything that I cook, I'll add it some way. A lot of times I love like sauteed garlic. I don't overcook garlic as much as I kind of like garlic overcooked when it's crunchy, but I think it's good to keep it kind of intact and closer to raw, maybe a little bit better. And I even like the spicy. I'll just chop up a clove of garlic if I'm eating salsa, and I'll put garlic in there. There's some things you can look up. I haven't ever tried it yet, but it sounds fantastic. Getting local honey and chopping up, kind of mincing some fresh organic garlic and putting it in the honey and just leaving it in there. I don't know if that sounds repellent to anybody else. It sounds intriguing to me, but there's apparently a whole host of benefits to the local honey, particularly during allergy season, and the benefits of the garlic, which you'll hear in just a second. Anyway, adding garlic. Garlic is another one of those kind of easy things that adding to your diet. It may be one of the reasons people in the Mediterranean live so long. Again, your partner may need to weigh on this. You may need to get them on board as well or invest in a good toothbrush and a good natural mouthwash. But anyway, here it is.
So you definitely need to start adding garlic to your meals. This is why. There's all sorts of fascinating phytonutrients in garlic. There's sulfur compounds. Garlic increases endurance. So if you're an athlete and you want to go longer, garlic can help you do that. Garlic has antimicrobial properties. It has antiviral, antibacterial. It's considered like an antibiotic without the side effects. Antifungal, like an athlete's foot. It's very antiparasitic as well. So it will make sure that the unfriendly pathogens are not taking over your body. It has very beneficial respiratory benefits. It can decrease a cough. It can help someone breathe. If someone has a lung infection, it can decrease the duration of that infection. It also is great for getting rid of inflammation, especially if you have arthritis, both osteo and rheumatoid. It's very anti-cancer from the compound called allicin. There's a gentleman that I interviewed that had stage 4 cancer. This was probably 2.5 years ago. He was told that he was going to die within a month, okay? Well, guess what? He's going strong. There's no signs of cancer in his body. One very interesting thing about his protocol, which I'll put his link down below, he consumed a massive amount of garlic, okay, in all of his foods, and he took supplements. So garlic definitely has a significant impact on preventing cancer, and also if you have cancer, helping you get rid of it. All right, number 6, cardiovascular. It decreases the risk for strokes. It's like a natural blood thinner. It helps decrease blood pressure by increasing something called nitric oxide. There's a lot of data, a lot of studies on that. It can decrease cholesterol. Number 7, it greatly improves the immune system, decreasing infection duration, like I mentioned. Also, it can directly help kill pathogens. Number 8, digestion. It helps the flow of bile. It helps the food move through the body, and it helps bloating and even gas. Number 9, detoxification. It helps to trigger the phase 1, phase 2 detoxification system in your liver to take these fat-soluble poisons into harmless water-soluble particles. So it helps to detoxify chemicals. And it even actually can strengthen the bone density. So there's a lot of properties. But probably the biggest thing that it can do for you is prevent vampires, okay? All right. Thanks for watching.
I will admit I've used garlic for a period of years. Sometimes I forget about it. Go to the grocery store, don't get it. You know, just a few meals in, it's kind of out of my mind, and then something jogs my memory like a clip like this, and I'll get it again. But I will vouch for that. I have not seen. I don't know. They haven't been around me, but if you look at Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs, the vampires do exist, and they are near us. I see them, but they don't come anywhere near me or my health. One thing he mentioned was that you can also, if you don't like the smell on your breath, you can get garlic supplements. I've never tried these, but I would imagine that, like most supplements, they found ways to give you garlic, and you don't have to actually eat it. I just happen to like the food itself. And the thing that this really calls into attention, Again, I'll go back to Hippocrates. Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. There's so many things on this planet that work, that actually help. All kinds of things that throughout the history of mankind, they picked up and eaten and realized that it had beneficial. There's compounds in all of these things that are scientifically proved to have beneficial effects on your health. Yet we don't ever talk about these things. We think that the only thing that really matters is that little pill that you took, the first pill, and then the first pill causes a couple. It addresses the symptoms, but it causes a couple other problems. So you take a second pill to address the side effects of the first pill. Then you need a third pill eventually to take effect, make sure that you knock down the side effects of the second pill. And, I mean, this is what we do. Yet planet Earth has got a ton of things that are tremendously beneficial. Garlic is one of those things. I wish I could play clips from his interview. I've talked about it before. The clips of the interview that he did, if you email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, if you're interested in somebody who has recovered naturally from cancer, he did a fascinating interview. I believe the guy is French. He's got such a thick accent, it does not lend itself well to a radio interview. It's one of those things where, you know, some of them foreigners, you almost have to see them talk so you can really kind of understand what they're saying. You need to see a little bit of the lip movement to parse out some of the words. And that's what that interview is. But it's a man who is, he looks like to be in his late 70s, maybe early 80s. And so a few years ago, he was sent home to die with stage 4 cancer. So there's nothing we can do for you. Go home, be comfortable. And this is when doctors will say, eat whatever you want. Just enjoy the remaining few weeks you've got. Well, he didn't take that. And he came up with a protocol full of all kinds of nutritious foods. And apparently garlic was a big part of that. And the guy's still kicking. He's fine. There's no cancer. I would imagine that his family didn't even mind his bad breath if he used the tremendous amount of garlic that Dr. Berg just told us he did. But it's heartbreaking to see those stories. And I'm sure there are stories, too, where people tried to do. Steve Jobs was one who really tried to do natural therapies when he got cancer, and apparently it didn't work. I don't know what protocol he used. Don't know why it didn't work. It doesn't work for everybody. I don't know what it is, but when you see that people reclaim their health from serious, serious life-threatening diseases and within weeks and months turn around things like diabetes and cancer and blood pressure issues, these kinds of things, and knowing that that stuff is out there and just watching our health authorities just gloss right past it like it doesn't even exist, threatening to put warning labels on supplements, running stories that say that none of these things work. It's pretty frustrating to watch, but anyway, turmeric. Garlic, apple cider vinegar, vitamin D, pennies a day. Those things can address a lot of health issues. Do your own research. I got to go. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.